Yeah, we wanted to ask you.
You can ask me. I thought we were just going to talk crap about Monique the whole time.
Why she's not here.
Didn't make it last year either. No, big deal.
You don't feel hurt at all, do you?
Next year, it'll be the last chance. That's it. Oh.
Three tries, you're out.
It's over.
Three, you're out.
That's it.
All standby passengers, see me at the podium for your seat assignment.
Non-Rev Lounge is a travel and aviation podcast. Monique, Laura, and Tyler are three friends that work for a major airline as gate agent, flight attendant, and ramp worker. During this podcast, they will discuss using their flight benefits to travel the world, as well as talk about things that happen at work. They have guests on almost every week to share their travels and stories, leaving tips on the best places to travel or things to do. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Non-Rev Lounge. I'm Tyler.
I'm Laura.
I'm Monique.
Excited to talk about this week?
Yeah, I'm curious. I saw the topic and I'm excited.
Yeah, so we're going to have we'll have a guest on a little later. But first off, the three of us want to talk about something. This is something from, what Simple Flying is. It's this group that puts out a bunch of stuff on social media. They do YouTube stuff. A lot of its stuff is kind of basic stuff. Aviation stuff, so it's kind of
a lot of people need that.
Yeah, so they have a lot of flights, but they put the thing. This is what Beryl sent. She's the one that sent it to our little group. And so what it says is SAS. You know what that is? Scandinavian Airlines.
Who flew them?
I did.
You did. Okay,
yeah, that's when they flew them, the 350. Okay. Really cool. But into Copenhagen.
Okay.
And so there says SAS launches points plane with a twist. You have no idea where you're going. So what they did is they set up this deal where people with their points, airline miles points, could pay so much to go on this trip and you're not going to know where you're going.
Don't know where you're going, but they tell you what to pack.
Yeah, so it's a 3-day thing, apparently. They had over 1,000 people within minutes of it launching.
Really?
To sign up saying, I'll use my points to go on this, but I don't know what it is. I don't know where you're going.
How fun would that be?
So when do you find out?
When you're in the air.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
So they're all going to the same place, though?
Yeah. So it's like a plane full of people. So they won't take all 1,000 people. But
okay.
And I think they said that they will give you a heads up. Like
what to wear, what to pack.
With your personalities, would you do this?
Was it a good deal?
It seemed like it was like
30. See, she has to have a good deal.
30,000 points.
That's not very many, really.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly how much.
It sounds exciting. So only a few times have I seen it, but there's been like the families that show up and like dad's got everyone in like blindfolds. And
oh, yeah. Yeah.
Headphones or whatever. So no one knows, like the family doesn't know where they're going. And I think that's so exciting. So part of me is like, this sounds really cool.
Yeah. And I would think that they would have to do something cool. They couldn't just be like, we're going to take your money and just go some dump, right? They're not going to go to El Paso. I mean, from there, from Copenhagen, it'll be cool. But they're not going to go to some town that there's nothing special in.
Yeah.
It's going to be something.
Well, they're going to have to make sure they have all their documents in line, right? Because if they're going somewhere, they'll have to have passports that are valid, visas.
I'm sure that, yeah. But over there, everything is out of the country almost, right?
I guess you couldn't necessarily go something too crazy because, I mean, you couldn't even necessarily do Australia because then those people would have had to already apply for visas.
Oh, yeah, those kind of things. It's probably someone that's in their European network is my guess, a 3-day trip. I mean, they could be going to Toulouse or go see Airbus where maybe they're getting a plane delivery.
I would sign up for that.
But you don't know what it is.
I know. I think I would sign up for it though because how fun would that be?
And then they plan the 3 days for you as well?
Apparently, yeah. It's all kind of.
That's kind of cool, too.
What if they just took you to some small place and just played bingo for 3 days? And you're like, I use vacation days for this.
Yeah, but that's something bingo. You wouldn't do by yourself. You would do it with a friend.
Yeah, so that was the thing is if you do a plus one, you would either both get it or neither would you. So you'd have someone with you. So my personality, I'm so planned. I feel like I need to justify my days off. If I'm going to use time off, if I'm going to use those miles, I want to know what I'm going to get, which is good at times and it's probably... There's times I don't get things that I would have otherwise. Like when my friend Nick and I were in San Francisco and someone's like, come do this test and we'll give you $300. This little quick test. They're like, you try some ice creams. And I was like, this is fake.
It sounds like a scam. Yeah.
And he did it. He tried some food and they gave him all this money. And I was like, I never would have done that. I never would have because I wouldn't have said, let's just try it. Just do it.
Yeah. But if you go somewhere non-revving, And all of a sudden that something happens that flight, you find a different destination or a different way.
Yeah.
Well, and I feel like you always kind of need like that friend in the friend group who plans everything out for you.
Like Bridget said, oh no, I'm just the idea girl. Somebody else has to figure out where. Yeah. Where
and that's kind of what it is. Like you just say, hey, take my money, plan this for me. I'll be excited wherever we go.
And yeah, that's hard for me to do. I like to be the one that's like planning and make sure things work out. And I don't know. It's interesting. We'll have to see if they announce where they went, what they did with that. I also, when I was talking, I was like, I don't know what's in it for the airline. Like, what are they getting out of it to do it?
It's just publicity out of this?
Probably. Huge bunch of free publicity. That's free.
So it has to be something big then. So yeah. That's probably why some people, because they're not going to, if it's going to be publicity, they don't want bad publicity.
Yeah. Can you imagine ours being like, and you're going to Boise?
Yeah.
But that could be fun.
You had to go.
They have a Cafe Rio.
Tour the blue turf. So yeah, that was kind of cool.
Yeah, that's fun. I was just when I read the topic, I was like, from a reservations point of view, I was like, how does this even work? How do the people book? But yeah, that makes sense then. That it's just a surprise for them.
Yeah.
Fun.
Better than the people on the Delta flight. Did you hear that last couple weeks ago? Did you hear about that?
No.
Coming back from Amsterdam, someone had some meat that...
Oh, spoiled and had...
Maggots were falling out onto the passengers.
That's so gross. People are so gross.
So
I like to watch like Border Patrol shows. There's some like on HBO Max or Max or whatever. And the stuff that people try to bring across the borders, and they like have no idea that you can't just bring a ton of meat.
Yeah.
Well, it's like that documentary they have on Atlanta Airport. Have you ever watched that? No. How Atlanta works, and they do the baggage and all that. They go down to Customs and Border Patrol and they show all the stuff that people try to bring in. That's a great little documentary on Netflix. I'll
have to watch that. Yeah.
On Atlanta.
That's crazy.
So. That's so gross.
All right. Well, let's get to our guest.
Our famous guest.
So last year at the Network of Orgs, I kind of mentioned it kind of felt like speed dating to me with the airlines and the network planners, for being from someone that wasn't, I hadn't been to one before, so I didn't know. That's just kind of the feeling I got. So can you kind of explain, we're here with you at the women's restroom in the Craiky Network Awards. So
at the Scottish Rite.
So Center. Welcome to the show, Brett. Yeah.
Thank you.
And can you kind of explain what do you do this, how long, and what's the purpose? And
sure. Well, it's funny you say speed dating, because there actually are a lot of airline network planning events that are like speed dating, where you literally go from booth to booth and have certain times with different airports and airlines matching up. And we are not trying to do that. What we are trying to do is just have a fun night to award the network planning teams for the work they do. You know, they don't really get out often. I think, you know, salespeople are out doing things. Network people, they'll go, but they're always, people are hounding them to talk to them. You know, everyone wants to talk to the network people.
Yeah.
Airports are clamoring for them, all that kind of stuff. And so this is the opportunity to have more for them. It's for them to come and relax and enjoy, talk shop, win some awards, laugh a little. And there are some airports, but it's not the same type of event where it's, you know, it's not a speed dating type of thing.
Yeah. That's what someone said last year. I said, this is how it feels. And he goes, oh no, this is kind of what you said. Like,
yeah,
they have those. This is more just, but to me, someone that had never been. So it's like, you have a party, you're drinking with those two together. Kind of almost like you're kind of forcing them to, but it's fun last year. We're glad you invited us back.
Yeah, no, you guys were great to have. We're glad you're back again.
I have a question, being that you kind of talked to both sides. It seems like you invited airports and so it seems like when a new route is to launch, like Air France just announced Phoenix.
Yeah.
And the airport goes crazy. It's all us, all airport. But to me, it seems like that's the route planning team, the one that. So can you kind of explain how that part?
And why Phoenix made it sound like it was their kudos.
Well, it's both, really, because, you know, a good network planning team does its homework, looks at the data, figures out what it can do. But there's only so much that they may know about a specific area. And there is a great benefit to a really strong airport air service development team that can bring to them a lot of information, first of all, about, you know, possibly changes, companies that are coming, things that are changing. Oh, they're opening a new factory here and we could really use this. And it may not be something that's on the radar of all the network teams, right?
Okay,
You're the local expert. Also, sometimes they bring piles of cash.
Okay.
So, you know, that can come in different ways. I mean, almost every airport has some kind of airport incentive program for new routes, new airlines, that they'll either give them waived landing fees or they'll give them marketing support money to help, you know, match the dollars they spend, or just a pot of money they can spend to market the service. So there's a lot of that. Sometimes you'll see communities band together and create like pools of money that they guarantee that they'll spend, revenue guarantees. So there is a lot that the communities can do. So no question, I would assume, I don't know the inside of what happened with Air France and Phoenix, but there's no question that Phoenix did something and played a part in that.
Yeah.
So, you know, they should be crowing. This is a big deal. Anytime you get a big long haul route, especially from a place like Phoenix that doesn't have so many, it's a really big deal. LAX is like, what? Oh, another one? Oh, cool.
Oh, it's huge for people in Phoenix, and we're excited for it to come. But not just that route, but anytime it's like, we did it. It's like, oh, there's a team of people at the airline too. So it's good to see both sides.
Yeah. And this is really, you know, one of the things we do here is we have the Best Airport Partner Award.
Yeah.
And so we ask the airlines who are the airports that they want to nominate, or the people at airports specifically, because airports, a lot of them, there are a ton of airports, obviously. They can be city departments, which it is in Phoenix, but a lot of smaller ones too. You don't necessarily have a lot of people that are very experienced at knowing what to do, you know, at all times. Certainly at the biggest airports, you know, there's much more of a pedigree there. But there are so many airports vying for service that to really elevate and recognize the people that are really good at doing it from the airline perspective. That's why we started that award last year, because we thought it was really useful and helpful to have people know, like, here's a blueprint for the kind of thing you should be doing. These are the ones the airlines think are doing it right. And look at the air service that they're able to bring in.
Oh, smart.
Yeah. Because we are the fifth largest city.
Yeah.
City, metro area though, it's a whole, you know.
Spread out.
Phoenix is big though, there's no question.
All right, so we have a bunch of topics that we could do whole shows with you on, but we're just going to read them off and have you give a quick thought on each one.
Okay. It's like a
speed
dating.
Again, speed dating. Yeah, all right. Are you talking about the hot takes?
Hot takes.
Yeah.
Okay,
the from hot our takes. Aviation expert.
Okay, from our aviation expert, which would be you, Brett.
Yeah.
Redway. Quick thoughts.
Gone.
Do you think it ever made sense?
No, not really. I mean, I will give Lincoln credit for trying something different.
Yeah.
Because so often you see smaller airports just trying the same thing and it never really works. Like, maybe they get service and then the money dries up and it goes away and you're back where you were. So I give them credit for trying something different, but man, did they blow a lot of money.
Well, and that was pandemic money.
It was pandemic money. So it had to be spent somewhere, but their whole inquiry, it's a whole thing. But so I give them a little bit. I don't know though. The other side of the coin, I mean, they were so enthusiastic about it. Oh, they all going to be great. You know, we've put together this thing and it just failed bad.
When I looked at American, flies to every little podunk town in the Midwest from Dallas. And if American wouldn't go there, how are they going to get 320s full? So that was my thought. So,
well, I mean, it's sort of the Allegiant model, right? It kind of makes sense, but not as a standalone airline. That's like a Lincoln Bay.
There's a lot.
There's a lot there, but it's also too close to Omaha. But anyway.
All right. Next one is
my favorite.
Global.
With James Asquith.
Oh, the A380 one?
Yeah, so what are your thoughts on that? Okay.
I don't know, man. How does that work? Like, it doesn't.
Isn't that funny?
I mean, they have an A380 now that has flown, so they're already ahead of Baltia, if you remember that.
Yeah.
But
see, and just so you know, at Dorkfest last year, I was going to be their sales rep. And I got a sweatshirt and everything, but then they didn't have their package ready. They didn't have anything ready for me to
tell me more about this.
Isn't that funny?
What were they going to pay you?
No.
Okay.
I offered to volunteer.
A sweatshirt.
All right.
Hey, okay. I volunteer.
This is okay.
If I want to be part of something, I'm going to volunteer.
All right. Well, that's fair. But I think if you want to be an airline, you should probably be able to pay people.
Yeah.
Sort of a, it's like a good starting point.
Well, do you know much about it? I mean, what do you think?
No,
about it?
I don't.
Thoughts?
I mean,
okay.
I don't really understand where they're getting the money for this. I don't understand how they think they can fill A380s and make a living on it. The A380 is not a great airplane for a lot. I mean, Emirates loves it, not much else. But
they can fill it because they have connecting things. But just to fly it from.
Yeah. It's a big, you know, this is like all these airlines, like, oh, they're going to make money flying to Vegas or whatever it is. It's like, yeah. that works on Friday.
Yeah.
What do you do the rest of the week?
Boom.
It's an app name. Yeah, I don't see how it's ever going to happen with someone without crazy deep pockets.
Oh, yeah.
Because you look at Boeing and Airbus, and Boeing can't get anything certified right now. Boeing knows what it's doing. I mean, we can argue that, but Boeing knows how to certify an aircraft. And now you have this startup that is trying to certify something that's completely different and revolutionary, different technology, they say. They're already severely delayed. I don't see how they're going to be able to get it to the finish line.
Yeah, they already lost one engine manufacturer. Now they're on the next one.
Oh, yeah. That was the whole, right. Rolls was going to do it, and then they backed out. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe their goal is just to get it to a point where they think someone will buy the program, but I just don't see how they can get there.
Well, thank you for the water bottle you gave me last year at Dorkfest. Pacific New Airlines.
New Pacific?
Oh, is it New Pacific?
It's New Pacific.
I know the old Northern Pacific, yeah, now New Pacific. Already. Yeah.
Will they ever go to Asia?
Will we ever be friends with Russia?
Yeah.
I mean, until you have Russian airspace access, you can't do it.
Okay.
Not with a narrow body. So their whole model doesn't exist as long as we can't get Russian airspace access. And I don't think that's changing anytime soon. Just going to go out on a limb there. Although, who knows what happens in the next election? Maybe that'll
You don't even want to go there.
I do not. But yeah, it's tough. They had an idea. It was going to be a tough idea, and they can't do that. And so now I honestly don't even know how they're still flying at all or still going. I would have given up by now, but, you know, they must be stronger willed than I am.
What's your thoughts on the future of Spirit and JetBlue separately now that they've...
Separately?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, so JetBlue, I've been writing about them a lot. Yeah. You know, I like some of the early moves Joanna's done being in charge over there. I don't really know what's going to happen because there are a lot of moving parts. So, you know, you've got a new CEO who, granted, was the number two before, so there's continuity. But, you know, bringing in Marty St. George back as president, elevating Warren Christie,
To
COO. So you've already got some bigger changes at the top, need to be bigger changes below that. And then you've got Carl Icahn with his stake in the company, trying to drive up some value there.
You're just hearing his name, though, sends like the hair on the back of my neck.
I know. And a lot of people feel that way. He's just doing what he does. At TWA, he got in over his head. It was a horrible thing. He never should have. If he could look back now, he would have been way happier if he had just let them sell that to Frank Lorenzo and he could have made his money. But he got in over his head and just tried to get as much money as he could to get out of it. And then Spirit, you know, theirs is a much more simple path, I think. For Spirit, it's, okay, we have some cash and we're losing a ton of money. So how do we stop losing money before we run out of cash? And so they have a lot of work to do. They haven't settled that much about what the actual plan is. Maybe they don't know. I don't
know.
Well,
if they have a sale like AmeriQuest did,
the sale,
we will know.
Oh, no. That's not...
Do you remember that?
Yes. The lines out the block at the airport, like people waiting to buy those 50% off tickets.
And a pass for the rest of your life at the club for $100. I have a girlfriend that got it. She still has...
Is that right?
Uh-huh. Out for $100.
Good on
lifetime.
Her. Lifetime. Yeah.
Who knew, though?
Well, sure. Yeah, who knew the lifetime would be this long for America West?
Okay, Alaska and Hawaiian.
Yeah, I love it.
Pulani and Chester. Yeah,
I love it. I mean, whether it'll happen or not, we'll see if DOJ decides to fight it. But I think they bring a lot to each other. You know, you've got the West Coast presence for Alaska. They don't do wide bodies. Now you add in the Hawaii piece. There's that wide body part of that. That goes to Asia, Australia, all the Pacific stuff. But you can use those on the mainland. You can start looking at networks in different ways. And, you know, I think it's also really helpful as Southwest ramps up in Hawaii. That market has been a tough one. So I think it'll help to make it an easier market for for airlines to compete. I mean, there's still plenty of competition in them. It's just there was possibly too much before, if there is such a thing.
That's a good point. So that leads to our next one. Do you think that it's going to be harder for mergers to happen now that this the Spirit and JetBlue has happened?
I mean, it is almost impossible at this point. Yeah. Like, you know, Alaska and Hawaiian do not have much overlap. They probably have the best shot of any of these. But the current administration has made it clear they're strongly against mergers, especially ones that have any real overlap. So who knows what November will bring?
Yeah.
But under this administration, I think it'd be very hard to try and do anything with a merger, other than possibly this one, because Hawaiian was in trouble. It needed something.
Yeah, they were.
So yeah,
they were kind of two different. That's what thing was hard for me to take out on that one, was just they seemed so different. They didn't, because Hawaiian does their own thing. Like, but I like your point though. I think that them come together, they can cover more. So
well, I think Hawaiian and Alaska are actually pretty. They're pretty similar in a lot of ways, because they both, I mean, they both serve their states, right, respectively. I mean, Alaska is much more than that in a domestic carrier. Hawaiian's much more than that in a long haul international carrier. But in terms of the core business of knowing how to serve these remote states that rely on air transportation,
that's good. Yeah.
And they both have, you know, really lengthy histories and all this. Like, I think there actually is a lot that's more similar with it. Certainly more similar than like a JetBlue and a Spirit, which just have totally different models.
Okay. And the last one is Phoenix and why the population and international service do not match. And I just want you to know that every time I see my network planning team, my mom is yelling, Phoenix, all weather gateway.
Yeah, I was going to say, go talk to you, Deacon will be here. I mean, obviously the big airlines in Phoenix are American and Southwest. So Southwest is not going to take you long haul.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, they do have international, but not what you're thinking.
Not Europe.
No. American, I don't really understand it, quite honestly. I mean, Phoenix does not have that same level of international demand that other places do. That is true. But I don't understand why American thinks JFK Haneda is a good use of a slot. I would have done Phoenix.
Yeah, thank you.
Still not necessarily absolute winning market, to be clear, but JFK Haneda is going to be an absolute trash market for them. So,
well, from your lips to Brian's ears.
Well, I don't think, I mean, it's a tough thing to justify. It's also, you know, where do they want to put these airplanes? The London flight, they can rotate the airplane in and out of London.
But it's the same, like, it's not just American. Other airlines aren't coming. Air France is coming, I think, seasonally 3 days a week.
Well, you got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
But when I added up, like, the three that they fly, it'll be like 16 flights a week.
Yeah.
International. And, like, Seattle has that in a day. Yeah, that's...
Well... Sure, but so Seattle is also, I mean, especially Asia, it's a much bigger city. It's also, I mean, there are a couple things with Phoenix. I mean, Seattle's a good comparison because you do have this distance issue from Europe, right? And so certainly a lot of the Northeast cities, they're doing great now because they can fly 321s, NEOs to some of these that they can take a swing and see if it works. You can't do that in Phoenix. It's a much tougher one.
Yeah.
But, you know, I am still surprised that, because Lufthansa was supposed to come back in with Eurowings or whatever it was called at the time. They've changed their stupid name so many
Discover,
times.
Discover, is it now or something?
It's like now that. Discover. But,
yeah.
But they were supposed to have that. I think it was at the pandemic they announced it. It never started. I was always surprised that didn't happen for them to at least do something. But, you know, it really, the more likely thing is someone who can feed into American and it, you know, as a partner, it helps them to justify it if they can get connectivity and also just the local loyalty and stuff like that. So, I mean, I think for Air France, it's a really good move. I think it's an interesting move.
I'm going to be full.
Full isn't probably not the issue. It's the fares, but 3 days a week is tough too, but at least, you know, you can then connect with Delta going the other way if it doesn't work. So, I think it should, it's a good move. I don't know how much more opportunity there is for Phoenix, but I'm still surprised that American didn't take a swing at Phoenix Haneda.
I'm surprised too. I heard there was rumblings of that.
There's always rumblings. How long have there been rumblings?
Yeah. Okay, the three things.
Okay, so since you're the cranky guy, we're each going to share one cranky thing that travel or aviation.
And you're going to go last because you, so you can think about it.
What am I, what one cranky thing about just anything?
Personally,
aviation, travel, airports.
We'll share ours and you can see if you've got something too. Okay. Do you want to go first?
I'll go first.
Go ahead.
Okay. So what really makes me cranky is that Chick-fil-A restaurant gets a valuable airport retail space when they are only open 6 days a week. So they should have put, give that space to someone that will be open 7 days a week.
I would agree.
So that's mine.
So I,
that makes me cranky.
Yeah. Mine is hotels that charge for parking when they, like in New York City or a big city, it makes sense. But when you're staying in some small town and they still charge you for parking, it drives me crazy. And you're already paying $200 for a night and still have to pay another $30 to park your car.
50 at Dorkfest.
Yeah.
The 50 H there. A day.
Where?
H.
Oh, at the H.
Yeah. So
I stayed at a place in Chicago. It was like $75.
Gosh.
Yeah, just keep going up.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what makes me cranky is that your employer is trying to kill all travel agencies.
We had a discussion about that today.
She told me about that.
I don't understand it. It makes no sense to me. None. But
and they took away your support staff who you used to call.
Yeah, no, the phone number still exists. It just goes to Rez. Which, and they say they've trained them up, but yeah.
I apologize for that.
It's not on you.
I still feel for it.
But yeah, that's been making me cranky this week and the last year.
The last, 6 months for sure.
So you have, we're here for an award show. You have some awards and you're going to give out. We have some awards, the opposite kind that you have. We're going to get your opinion on. So you have the partners. We have the best breakups of last year. And I'll give you your, and you can choose. Is it United with Air Wisconsin, American with Mesa Airlines, or Spirit and Frontier?
What's the best breakup?
Probably American and Mesa.
That's a big one. Yeah.
That was a good one. That was a win for all passengers who didn't have to sit on the CRJ-900s.
We still see them come into Phoenix. They just come
in. Yeah, they go to maintenance too. They still have their maintenance there.
Yeah.
Okay. Ugliest new route. You get to pick one of the three. Ugliest new route. Redway from Lincoln to Minneapolis, St. Paul. Redway, Lincoln to Atlanta. Redway, Lincoln to Austin. Which one?
I would go Atlanta. And I think because Minneapolis, there is like a, like an actual connection there between people there. Okay. I think more so than like in Atlanta. But yeah, Lincoln it is. Sorry, guys.
That's a good one.
All right. And the biggest aviation story of 2023. Delta's explosive diarrhea.
Oh, yeah.
The United pilot that defends or defeats the parking lot access barrier arm. Or... Oh, it's the lady on American that claims the passenger in the back is not real.
Oh, yeah.
Or the Alaska pilot that claims shrooms made him do it.
I mean, if we're talking about closest to death, it's that one. I mean, that guy was, that was pretty, you got to go with that one, right? The mushrooms and, oh my God. That was
story.
Messed up. Although, good chance that the, that person is not real lady also is on mushrooms. So, so maybe that's the common thread here. I don't know.
Someone came as her at the Halloween party. Yeah. I thought that was pretty funny.
Oh, really? Would you know it was her unless she's just running around like pointing or something?
She had a picture of her.
Oh. She's like showing it. Okay. Fair enough.
One of your awards is the first flight to Tijuana. And that was, as far as I know, the first international flight to Tijuana when I took the first one, which I was disappointed because as I got to the gate, there was nothing at the gate. No balloons,
no swag.
Cake. And as I saw on Instagram, Sky Harbor was doing a big press conference outside of security and had cake and everything for people that came outside. So and as people were boarding, people were asking the flight attendant, like, where's all the stuff? People were. So that was kind of disappointing for them. But as I went across the, I just flew in, I crossed the border, the CBX. And because I wanted to try that because people had said they've done it. So I wanted to see how that was. And as you get with your customs, got my first stamp. And then I went right into there. Probably the only person that's going to fly from the States and across. Yeah. But they said they just built that new area. So I was the very first passenger to use that new area.
Oh, cool.
To go through there. And they took pictures where they were excited. But
and it was your very first passport stamp.
From my new passport.
Yeah.
But... So Tijuana has like 2 million people. What are your thoughts on Tijuana and the future of growth there?
So first of all, it may be the only international flight now, but it's not the first one. A few years ago, Delta tried it from LA.
Okay.
Which is not going to work. And Aeromexico used to do Asia from there as well because they couldn't do it from Mexico.
Oh.
Mexico City because of the altitude. But so there have been a little bit. But for the most part, it is a huge domestic hub for people flying, you know, from Tijuana and Southern California.
Because they could walk across
all over. Yeah. And that's the big thing. That's why I think Tijuana in general, that's why I think Tijuana hasn't done all that well from the U.S. Because if you're already in the U.S. going to the U.S., you're not going to fly to Tijuana unless you're you.
No, yeah.
So, you know, that's tough. But then also even just for like connections, you know, it's easy for people that are within California, Southern California. It's so easy to just cross over on CBX and then, you know, fly to wherever on Volaris or the other guys there. So it's a tough market just because it's so close to San Diego and there's not a ton of places that make sense from there. I think Phoenix is potentially the best option because you could have some local traffic there, but also there's the potential to connect beyond as well. So I do like that one. I think it's a really worthwhile effort to take a swing, but it is a really hard market. Just if you're on the Mexican side, how many of the people there need to come to the U.S. or how many people, if you're coming from the U.S., it's, you'd probably rather just go through San Diego or whatever. I don't know. It's a tough one, but people just haven't really tried it for a long time. So we don't know if it'll work or not.
So if you were to predict in a year, 3 years, what do you think you'd be gone? Like it didn't work out or you see it will expand and other airlines go, oh, we can try that.
Oh, I don't know about other airlines.
Do you think just because the Phoenix location and things make sense?
Yeah, I think Phoenix as a hub is a good place to do it from. Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. You know, Delta to LA, it doesn't really make sense. Salt Lake doesn't make sense. Yeah. Start getting too much further for these guys. It doesn't make much sense. It's also not really a big place for like Aeromexico, which, you know, would be the one that you would think might try to do more from there.
Coming up.
But instead, you know, they focus on Mexico City, some Guadalajara, a little bit of Monterrey. But Tijuana is really a ULCC market.
Yeah. I didn't know with the surgeries that they do there and like manufacturing people, if that would bring some business people to go see their warehouses and things.
I mean, I'm sure there's some but yeah, don't know. We'll see. Yeah. I'd like to think it'll work, but I don't know that it's going to create some big rush.
I wanted to show you my non-rev. Good luck. My lucky socks to non-rev.
Oh, look.
You're wearing them. You're wearing the same socks. Those are my lucky Louisville.
They work?
Yes, they work.
Okay. Yeah. It's good to know.
So as we close out, we're planning on coming to Orkfest. As we know, people have already had rooms booked. Anything to tell people coming up? I know we've already talked about it a couple years ago.
I can't even think that far.
I get it.
We got the awards to deal with. I can't. Yeah, nothing. I haven't even really thought about it other than the date. So
people love coming, and we enjoy
coming. We all love it. Yeah, it's a good time for us to get together.
It's a fun weekend. I know you're busy with it and stuff, but so
yeah,
thanks for doing that.
Part of the fun is just everyone being able to get together. Like Dorkfest itself for me is exhausting, but then I go hang out afterwards and you know have dinner with people the night before or whatever. So it is fun.
That's how I got my Louisville socks.
Oh, is it?
An aviation photographer's name is Tom Rainey, and he gave me those for my birthday. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. I met him at Dorkfest.
Awesome.
Well, thanks for joining us and
thank you. Thanks, Brett.
For your big event here, so this is fun. So
thanks for having me on, and thanks for helping out tonight.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for listening, everyone.
Yeah, if you want to get a hold of us, you can find us at the Non-Rev Lounge Podcast at gmail.com.
All right. See you next week.
Stay safe. Bye.
This has been Non-Rev Lounge. This episode was sponsored by Staff Traveler, which is the number one app to get your non-rev loads. It is used by over 700,000 people from all airlines the world over and built to make your non-rev trips easy and stress-free. Sign up now for free at stafftraveler.com/non-rev lounge.
Another thing they do is when we're doing the pilot break, you know, one of us has to stand out with the cart, you know, blocking the aisle, and then the other person goes inside. Well, a lot of times when they come out of the out, if they're like on a 737 or something, they need me to move a little bit so they can get in.
It's kind of a tight little
space. So they put their hands on my waist, both hands on my waist. Uh-huh. Sometimes on my hips and just kind of push me over to the side. It's the most, it's very intimate. It's a very, to me, I feel like that's a very intimate thing to do.
Yeah. Well, hands on me in general, I wouldn't like.
Yeah. So then when they go into the bathroom, so when I hear the bathroom click that they're coming back out, man, I just move my body. It's like, okay, so you don't have to put your hands on my hips again.
Maybe the chief pilot needs to make another memo.
And it's a woman. Our chief pilot in Phoenix is a woman.
She is.
Mm-hmm. What if you wrote her?
Tell her about that. Well, I'm going to write her because it really bugs me that on the London trips, these 777 pilots are making $400,000 a year and they only tip a dollar.
Well, what's tough is I don't know if she is, I don't know if the jurisdiction is the right term, but I don't think they're her pilots.
Oh, no, they're not her pilots because they're not Phoenix based. Yeah. But they only tip a dollar and this poor guy takes their luggage often on the bus twice. There's 12 of us. So there's at least 24 pieces of luggage.
Well, and pilots' bags are already heavier than just any other luggage around.
Why do they only tip a dollar? That just drives me crazy.
I mean, it's expensive to have families in multiple cities.
It's true.
Christian's my favorite.
I was working another flight and he swung around to say hi to me the other day.
He's so nice.
He needs to get back.
No, he's going to stay. He's going to stay as in-flight manager.
Oh, he is?
Uh-huh. He changed his mind. And he listens to our program. I don't know if you guys know that. He listens to the Non-Rev Lounge. And so the first time I met him, he was staring at me and stuff. And I go, hi. And he goes, hi. I go, I'm. He goes, I know who you are. Aww. He goes, I listen to your podcast.
Aww.
He goes, can I have a sticker, please?
Oh, really?
So he has my face sticker on his Hydro Flask.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, hi, Christian.
He's so cute.